Maybe we could just go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, thank you for, Lord God, what you're doing, Lord God. And helping us, oh Lord God, to adjust our thinking, oh Lord God. To help us to see through spiritual eyes, oh Lord God, what your word says concerning how we should live our life. What does it really mean? Oh Lord God, that you would lead, guide, and direct tonight. That your spirit, Lord God, I know words, oh Lord God, are just not good enough. We need your spirit. And Lord, we need your spirit that you would lead the service, convict and speak to hearts. Oh Lord God, convince and reprove, comfort, edify, strengthen, encourage. Oh Lord God, in those areas that we all need help in. I pray the blood of Jesus now to cover every mind, every ear, every thought, every word spoken. Oh Lord God, that your spirit would go forth. Not the flesh of man, but Lord God, your spirit. That's all we need. That's all we want. That you would be here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray under the blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you, Lord. Well, I just want to, you know, encourage people not to get discouraged, not to take offense over things in this life. We need to come up higher, reach out to one another. And sometimes it's going to hurt. Sometimes it's going to sting. We need to help each other to make it. Or there's no hope. We need each other to help each other. Otherwise, we're on our own. We have Jesus. But the Lord put us here so that we could have one another to encourage, sharpen, strengthen, help, edify all these areas. And so with that, I would just like to encourage us to just reach out to the Lord, but don't forget to reach out to your neighbor too.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Why don't we sing that song? Number 76, reach out and touch the Lord, amen.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by.
Oh, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise
Amen.
You, Jesus.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God.
Amen. Well, I want to encourage people too tonight to seek after the Holy Ghost, to be filled with Him every day.
Praise the Lord.
Because you see, with the Holy Ghost, you have His Spirit. Without the Lord's Spirit, you cannot have the fruits of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
We need the fruits of the Spirit in order to see ourselves and to grow and to help others grow. Because this life, we stand between life and death. And we don't have much time left. And it's a wake-up call. It's time to wake up. All of us. Everyone. Anyone who's online who might hear this. Anyone who's here. Whoever might hear it. People just need to wake up. And we need the Holy Ghost. Don't you? Don't you? I do. I need the Holy Ghost every day. The Spirit of God. Living in me. To have the love of Christ, have love enough in my heart to want to help someone. How about you? To reach out to someone. It might be reproof, it might be encouragement, it might be exhortation. It might be just telling things straight to somebody. We need. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost causes us, you and me both, all of us, to walk in the boldness. But you can't walk in boldness until you're walking in holiness before God. That means no sin, no hidden sins. Being right with God. Amen?
Amen.
That means having the right motives. That means being a man or a woman who is not living for selfish means or gain. No. It's about dying to self, dying for the sake and for the well-being of those around you. There is no competition between Christians. Only honoring, love, respect. Coming together to help. That's why we're here. Let's go there. Sing that song, number 85. Give me oil for my lamp. Oh, how I need that every day. How about you, sister?
Amen.
Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings.
sing Hosanna to the King. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, there's a lot of folks out there that need help. I know we were talking to some people online the other night, and Sharon, there are people out there that are struggling and need help and prayer. And I just ask you to keep Sharon Tay in prayer, if you will. She's going through some big-time struggle in Singapore. She needs your prayers and my prayers, all of our prayers. Just lift her up when you get a chance, will you? And not going to give any details. I don't even think I have enough knowledge to know all the details to begin with, so it wouldn't be appropriate to say anything more. But I just keep her in prayer, if you will. And she's a woman who needs help with some issues. And keep our dear friend Chung in prayer as he continues the battle, if you will. Their lifeline is this ministry. And they live, they worship, they pray, but they live in so many ways to improve their lives, to want to be a better Christian. And they call us wanting to know how that they can be a better example. We're trying to help them online. And you see, we need each other's help. All of us can live in victory. We don't need trouble here, do we? Among each other.
No.
We need to love each other here so that we can be encouraged, strengthened to get out there and help others in need. There's so much in the Word of God you could go to regarding that. And that's God's way. That's God's Spirit. So, why don't we sing that song, number 91, Without Him, in the chorus book. Number 91. Go there, because truly, hey, we've said it 1,000 times. I guess it's worth repeating another 1,000 times. We can't do it without the Lord.
No way.
And if we're in this thing together, if you really mean business with God, if you truly are filled with the Spirit of God, then you're going to want to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. And let God take control of your life. Amen. Let's go there.
Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea. And make my life
what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Praise you, Lord.
We could just go to one more song tonight before we turn it over to Shirley. Sing that one, number 39, Have Faith in God. Amen.
Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God, for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God, for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank well, we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. And if anybody has anything that they would like to share, sister?
I have a prayer request.
Okay.
I'd like prayer, continued prayer for our dad, because he's still got that kidney stone. He's kind of stubborn and set in his ways, and he doesn't want our help. He doesn't want us to call. He doesn't want anything to do with us. He just wants to sit there and be stubborn. So.
Really? Well, why don't we take up this and we'll pray for him. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you now for this prayer request, oh Lord. We lift up Diane's dad, oh Lord.
It
doesn't want any help, doesn't want any phone calls, doesn't want any kind of contact, just wants to be left alone. But Lord, We do pray that you would have mercy and intervene. We do pray, Lord God, that by your mercy, grace, and truth, that you would show your light into his life, that he would truly relent. Oh, Lord, that he would truly look and see the need that he has, that he wouldn't take it for granted or have a hard heart in any way. Lord, that you would soften his heart, we pray. Truly, you would soften his heart, even now. Asking, Lord God, by the blood of Christ, that you would do a wonder work in his life, that you would come in and knock on his heart. Knock on the door of his heart, Lord. That he would open that door. Oh, Lord God, that by your blood, by your mercy, you would reach out to him, Lord, now. That he would be able to receive, that you would touch him enough, Lord, that he would open his heart, oh Lord God, to receive help, to receive prayer. We pray that you would do a work, do a miracle. On his behalf, Lord God, we pray. For we all need you, Lord. We're all lost and undone without you, Lord. And oh, how we need your help. We pray the blood of Jesus over his life and ask you, Lord, for do a miracle. Do a work of healing as we pray together here in one agreement, one accord. By faith, believing, oh Lord. Trusting in your ability. Trusting you, Lord God, for you do all things right, good, and well. And Lord, we also pray now for Diane's son, Shane, who has a growth or a bump or whatever it is in the backside of his ear. So Lord, we right now apply the blood of Jesus by faith to that right now, and we ask, oh Lord, that not only would you heal that, but Lord, that you would draw him unto you, Lord. That not only would he be healed, but that he would know it be by thy hand, that he would, oh Lord God, open his heart to receive, but that he would also repent, that he would give his life unto thee, Lord God. For the time is short. Oh Lord God, the day is at hand. Your soon coming is just around the corner. And Lord God, we pray that you would work, do a work of convincing and convicting in his heart, even tonight. Oh Lord, even tonight, that you would even send someone his way, that he would hear a word, or that you would cause conviction, or that you would cause him to open his eyes, and you would cause him to think and wonder, Lord God, what about my life? What about my soul? What will happen next? What will happen in the end? Lord God, we thank you for that mercy, your grace, and your truth that you give by the Holy Ghost. For your prompting, O Lord God, to lead, guide, and direct, to orchestrate all things according to your perfect will. We pray in agreement, one accord, under the blood, in Jesus' name. O Lord God, we also thank you for these tithes, gifts, and offerings, and ask that you would bless it. Use it for your purpose and for your glory, Lord God.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, surely if you could make your way here. Praise God.
Got caught.
Okay, I guess that's better. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's good. Praise the Lord. It is good to see everybody here tonight. Just really thankful. It's always that we're fighting battles. I know that. And I was just, you know, Brother Tim was talking about how we need one another. And, you know, that is so true. And I know I was just really thankful for a telephone call this morning because, boy, just was like I couldn't concentrate, I couldn't think, I felt dizzy, and just, wow, how in the world am I going to get up here tonight? And, you know, on and on the battle goes. And just so thankful Sister Vicki called me. And it, boy, thank God. It was just, it was really dear, and thank God for that. But it's so true. We all fight battles. We're all human. We all have this flesh that we have to put up with, and we know we can't do anything without the Lord. But while we are laborers together with Christ, we are laborers together, and we're all part of a body. When we've been born again of the water and of the Spirit, we're together. We all have a part. We all have a function. And when something is hurt, wow, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. And that's so it is with the body of Christ. When one member is suffering, we suffer also. The entire body will suffer if one part is sore. I know, because right now I've got a sore finger, and you know it. You know, it's just one little member of the body, but you know it's not quite right, and we realize that. But praise the Lord, the Lord uses that to show us how much we need each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer right now. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your precious promises. Oh, God, we're so thankful that we can come here tonight, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord, that we can praise you, that we can worship you, that we have this opportunity yet here tonight, God. Oh, Lord, we know the day of thy coming is at hand. Lord, it's around the corner. It could be any time, Lord. God, I just pray, oh, Lord, that you would talk to us tonight, Lord, that you'd bind every hindering spirit, oh, Lord, everything that's contrary, everything that opposes thy kingdom, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you give us a heart, oh, Lord, that is soft toward thee, oh, Lord, and toward one another, Lord, God. And, oh, Lord, I pray that you would be here. That your presence would be here, Lord. That your touch would be here. Oh, Lord, that you'd meet the needs of these people. Oh, Lord, that you would talk to us as individuals, Lord. Oh, God, that we might be right with you and stand before you one day, Lord. Oh, God, we need you here. Lord, we ask that you be here. Lord, that your words would be here. God, that your anointing would be here. That your presence would be here, oh, God. And that you draw us close to you, Lord, before that great and terrible day of the Lord, Lord, for you are coming. Oh, God, you're coming as a thief in the night. And we do thank you and praise you, oh, Lord, that we are here. We have this privilege. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name we ask and pray that you would be here to anoint and to lead, to give us ears to hear. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank God for his mercy to us. I had the privilege of being in contact with some people in Georgia. And I happen to know that this friend, Eleanor, is married to a man who's Mexican, and also her son-in-law. And I don't know sometimes just what all the Lord is doing, but I just really felt the need to have my track that I wrote, Coming as a Thief, it translated into Spanish. And they've translated it for me. So praise the Lord. With the Lord's help, we'll have a Spanish track. Oh, thank the Lord. So God is good. He's good. And I just thank the Lord for all he's doing. We did commune with Brother Chung and Sister Sharon on Monday night, and it does look like it's quite possible that Brother Chung's mother will be baptized in Jesus' name. So thank God. You know, Chung had said he had been talking to her for over a period of time, and you know, you pour out your heart, you think you've done everything you can do, and there's no more words. But you know, he's just kind of been kind of quiet about it. to her, you know, the last period of time. And all at once, though, she asked if she could be baptized in Jesus' name. So while the Lord keeps talking to the heart. And that's so precious. That's so beautiful. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Luke, the 17th chapter here to begin, and just see what the Lord does here with this message here. Oh, praise the Lord. Sure do need him here. But our God is good. Our God is faithful. Let's go here to Luke 17. And I believe we're going to call this When the Son of Man is Revealed. When the Son of Man is Revealed. And we'll go here to Luke 17. To begin, I believe I'd like to go to... let's go to verse 26 to begin. And then I plan to go back and cover more scripture in this chapter. I'm not just quite sure all that I'll cover, but let's see what the Lord does here tonight. Okay. Verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that's where I get my text, when the Son of Man is revealed. We're going to be talking about that day and this other scripture that relates here with the Lord's help here tonight. Praise the Lord. Okay, now I am going to go back to verse 20 here. Yes, I wanted to emphasize this latter, that middle part of the scripture here, but I want to go to 20 because this is a question that the Pharisees were demanding of Jesus, if we look at it here. And it says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And what an important thing that is. We're in a kingdom unlike any other kingdom in this world. There's nothing like it at all. You know, usually if a kingdom was to overwhelm another kingdom and overtake it, you know that you would see armies. You would see notice that something was going on. There would be some obvious actions going on. I would think before a takeover, most likely, there would be observation. In other words, you kind of tell that something wasn't right. I do think, though, I do think here in this country, things have been done in the sly, and a lot has happened, without hardly anybody comprehending it. But while we who are awake and alive in the Lord can see what the enemy has sown in many ways. But anyway, usually they say, well, here, well, there, you know, you can see evidence. But our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to bring forth his kingdom, he was bringing forth a kingdom that would be spiritual. It'd be deep down inside. It would be something that would be apparent just by looking. It would be something that the Lord was doing within people, inside people. And, of course, when he stood before Pilate there at Judgment Hall there, and he told that very confused man, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, then should my servants fight, that I should not be delivered unto the Jews? But he said, but now is my kingdom not from hence. He came to bring forth something in the inside. And of course, that was something they really had trouble understanding, because I guess a spiritual kingdom really was very strange to people. They couldn't understand that the Lord was going to do a work on the inside and change them from the inside so that they could have victory and freedom from sin. They couldn't quite get that. It was really hard to comprehend that, it seemed. But I'm so thankful that's the kind of thing that our Lord Jesus was bringing forth. It was something that would change us and give us hope and make us his own children. We could be participants of that heavenly kingdom. So anyway, it was declared to them. It wasn't going to be an obvious takeover, but it was something that would be on the inside. And then in verse 22, Jesus said unto the disciples, "The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it." Here he was in their midst, standing right before them, talking to them. And they didn't know who he was. And there would be a time when they would desire to see him. And at that point it wouldn't be possible because they didn't understand who he was when he came to save them from their sin. And then verse 23 says, "And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day." And he's talking about that coming, that second coming when suddenly every eye shall see him. He's going to come in clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they which crucified him, they're going to suddenly recognize him. They're all going to have that quickening in their heart to know who Jesus was. And they're going to have that understanding. There's going to be that wailing, because at that moment they're going to understand, those that did not receive him as their Savior, who he was, and that they missed an opportunity. They missed that opportunity while they were yet on earth to receive the Son of Man. Oh my, what a wonder that will be. What a wonder that will be. But here he is declaring it was going to be very clear when he comes the second time. There's going to be no misunderstandings at that moment at all. You know, the 24th chapter of Matthew goes along with that, and I just would like to just cover that just slightly. I'll just kind of look at the same verses here that relate here. Here it says, "See here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them." And then it explains, "For as lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day." Let's just look at Matthew 24 here for a moment. It's close in so many ways, but it explains just a little bit more in detail. And of course, Jesus was talking, oh my, about the importance of them, oh my, listening and getting right at that moment, that importance, oh my, that we all need to heed. And he's talking about the great tribulation that would be before his coming there in verse 21, "Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." And verse 22 explains that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And I'm so glad for that verse. It really is dear, because I'm realizing that the enemy is not going to be able to do all the things that they have determined they're going to do on this earth. I know they have heinous plans for the Christians. I know they hate the child of God, and they've got all kinds of devices and things that they've determined to put against God's people. But you know what? The Lord's in charge. And that's so important for us to understand. The Lord's in charge. And he's not going to allow those things that are contrary to his will. He knows that appointed time. It isn't an appointed time when Jesus Christ shall return. It's going to be at that moment when he's ordained it to happen. And of course, it'll be at that time when all the fruit has been gathered into the garner, so to speak. His house is full. His children are ready. They're ripe, and it's time for him to reap the earth. It'll all be fulfilled at that moment. Everything will be accomplished, just as Jesus accomplished everything that was ordained in the scripture for him to accomplish while he was on earth. So it will be at his second coming. It'll all be done. And the Lord makes no mistakes, and he's in charge, and he knows at appointed time. So we're in good hands. But thank God, here is a very precious promise that for the elect's sake, those days should be shortened. So those things that they've devised against the children of God, they're all not going to happen. In fact, they may be very surprised. The Lord's going to come quickly. He's going to cause them to be surprised beyond belief. It's going to be a great shock to them when the Lord suddenly comes. But his people will be waiting with their lamps trimmed and burning. Verse 23 here in Matthew says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not." And of course, this has happened. This is happening now. There are people, oh my, that arise on the scene and pretend that they're a Christ, that they're a Messiah. And you know, believe it or not, there are people that follow after them. But here we are told to believe it not. And verse 24 goes on to explain, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." And again, I'm so glad for that clause that's included in this statement, "if it were possible." In other words, so much deception in this world, and I think that's a very descriptive word of this time in which we live. It's deceptive. People are deceived. People are blind. They're in a condition that they don't understand. So many people think they're right, and they're not. And they're believing a false doctrine. They've got, maybe a false Christ that they're following after. They're deceived, and sometimes there are great signs and wonders that follow these false Christs and prophets. So it's very deceptive. But praise the Lord, Jesus said, "Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not." So if they tell us there's a man on earth who is the Christ, we're not to go after him. We're not to believe it. We're to have this understanding. It's very important to understand that it would not be Jesus Christ, because the devil and all his craftiness is out there to deceive and to destroy in every way he possibly can. And then verse 27 explains, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Of course, that's explaining that it's going to be very apparent. It's going to be from the east and the west. There'll be no confusion at that moment as to what has happened. All will know and recognize that Jesus Christ has returned. It will be very striking at that moment, and very apparent, very obvious, and I'm sure very sudden. But that's how we look for our Lord to return. It's going to be suddenly. It's going to be all at once. It's not going to be that he's in the desert and, you know, we're all told to gather in the desert to go meet the Messiah, or, you know, or some secret meeting place, some secret chamber. You know, it's not going to be like that at all. And you know what? I don't know what they might try to pull to convince people that there's another Messiah, that there's another Christ. But listen, we've got to have the Word of God in our hearts so that we have understanding. He's not coming like that. He's not going to be here on earth doing some kind of feat. But all at once, he's going to come forth. We're going to see him. He's going to come in the clouds, and every eye is going to see him, and they're going to understand who he is at that moment. Amen. So here, going back to Luke then, it explains in verse 25, "But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation." Of course, we know that happened. Jesus came to earth and he was rejected. He certainly was rejected. Very few understood who he was, and his own people crucified him. They all crucified him. There were just a few that were truly followers of the Lord Jesus. And he did suffer many things. He certainly was rejected. But then it goes on to explain, as we had began the study here in verse 26, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." I'm going to go back to Genesis 6. I think these are some important details here. Here it is telling us that that day of the Lord, that second coming of the Lord Jesus, is going to be like unto the time of Noah. And I think to understand what this is all pertaining to, we need to go to Genesis, the sixth chapter, for a little bit here. And this is, wow, quite a chapter. If you look at verse 5, talking about this period of time of Noah, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Oh, that must have been very distressing to the Lord. And verse 6 explains, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." It must have been very hard, obviously, very hard for God to bear the sin and the wickedness. Here was his creation, mankind that he had made in his own image, and, you know, with great desires that they would worship him and obey him. But here it is, after a time had gone by, such a wickedness had come upon the earth. It was so great that it tells us here that every imagination of a thought of his heart was only evil continually. In other words, that's what they fed on, just evil, evil, wicked, nasty thoughts. Continually. And you know what? I don't know how everybody thinks, but wow, you just get a little glimpse sometimes when you hear people talk and maybe read something and or hear of some event that's happened in this earth, and you just get a little bit of understanding of what people are like on the inside. And I have a feeling not too far removed from this condition in the time of Noah. Of course, God was so grieved. You know, he had made man in his image, and with great hopes that they would follow after him and be faithful. And here it is, so departed from God that their thoughts were only evil continually. So, and it tells us the next verse, "It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth." He was sorry. It was hard to bear. And it said it grieved him at his heart. Oh my. You know, we feel that grief sometimes. Oh, you know, things happen in this lifetime. And there's nothing harder when somebody that you love is out of step. And they do things that are detrimental and could easily cause them to go to hell even. And that is something that hurts. It's really hard to bear. And if that happens to us, how much more God? And certainly that is the description here in this sixth chapter of Genesis. It says it grieved him at his heart. It was so hard for him to bear this. And God said, says in verse 7, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." But thank God, it tells us in verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I think that's wonderful. There was one man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was exceptional from the rest. And even now, though we live in the midst of sin, and it's a world full of contempt for the ways of God, but yet there are people that love the Lord. There is a remnant that the Lord has preserved. And I'm so thankful for that. And as Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, so can we. And verse 9 explains, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And I really think that's really precious. He was a just man. And it says, and perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. And I believe this is, there's a lot here. And I think I should just explain a little bit, because earlier in this chapter, it talks about a time that God was also, prior to this, all this is leading to the time of Noah and this ultimate decision that God's going to destroy the earth. But I believe perfect in his generation refers to the fact that Noah had not mixed, his seed was not mixed with the so-called the daughters of men. If I could just refer back to the earlier portion of the scripture here in the sixth chapter, it talks about how it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. I believe what happened here is when it refers to the Son of God, sons of God rather, it's referring to the seed of Seth. And what had happened, of course, we know that God gave Adam and Eve two sons in the beginning, Abel and Cain, and we know what happened. Cain slew his brother Abel. And there was a curse put on Cain. You know, there were two different factions here, so to speak. There was Abel, who tried to offer a perfect sacrifice to the Lord, and the Lord accepted his sacrifice. And then there was Cain, whose heart obviously wasn't right, and he too tried to offer a sacrifice to the Lord, but it wasn't accepted because his heart wasn't right. And of course, we know that that because he didn't like the way God dealt with him and the fact that his offering was not respected and accepted, that in the course of time, he slew his brother Abel over that very thing. The conflict arose, and whatever awe was in his heart, it was not well with him. In that fourth chapter, it says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. His offering couldn't be accepted because there was sin there. And, you know, he was so wroth because God did not have respect to his offering. And it was to the extent that he slew his brother. So there became a conflict. There was a conflict of two different seeds here, one that was righteous and one that was evil. And God, in his mercy, after Abel had been slain, gave Adam and Eve another son. And the name was Seth. And it's mentioned in the fourth chapter of Genesis that God had appointed another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And the thing is, in verse 26, it says, and to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. I believe the seed of Seth then represented the children of God, so to speak, and they were calling upon the name of the Lord. It was in their hearts to call upon God, but those that were born of Cain were of the other. And here there's a conflict because God knew there was an ultimate plan in the mind of God. He knew what had happened in the Garden of Eden. And oh my, all at once, that perfect relationship that Adam and Eve had had with God, where he walked with them in the cool of the day and they could commune with him, was broken because of sin. But of course, in the midst of that, there was a promise. God gave them a promise. And he said that he would put enmity between thee and the serpent, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In other words, there was going to come a redeemer at one point that would restore that fellowship that they had with God. And it was going to be so important that there would be a righteous seed that Son of God would come forth from, that the Messiah would come forth from. So God did not want the sons of Seth to mix with the daughters of men, so to speak, as it mentions, as it puts it in the second verse here of Genesis 6. But it happened. They were mingling. The seed of Seth was mingling with the seed of Cain. And that opposed God. He wanted a separate people, a people that would follow after him. And this almost must have seemed like it was ruined at that point, because there was going to be a Messiah that would come forth from that seed that was of God. So there was a conflict here, and God is upset. Of course, very upset, because with this comes that tremendous wickedness that we've been talking about, and that imagination of the heart that was evil all the time, continuously, as we just read here, and God is grieved. But verse 9 in this chapter tells us that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. In other words, I feel like his generations had not been mixed with the seed of Cain. So God could bring forth that promise one from his seed. It was very important. He was perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. So that really mattered to our Heavenly Father at that point. But the point tonight is to notice also that tremendous wickedness that was in the world, and God's determination that he was not going to bear with it anymore. There was going to be an end to it. And of course, we know, verse 11 tells us, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, verse 12, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Of course, we know then God gave Noah a plan, and that plan to build that ark of gopher wood, and exact dimensions, and how to do it, and how to seal it with pitch, and on and on, all those details. Three floors and one door, or one window, and all of that. And then God's promise that he would establish his covenant with Noah. Praise the Lord. But those were the days of Noah. Just to give us a glimpse of what had happened there in man's demise, in his corruption. But praise the Lord, there was one man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord, whose generations were perfect in the eyes of the Lord, and God could use him, God could preserve him, and that is what happened at this time. Praise the Lord. Of course, too, we as God's children, we're told we're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? We have to give heed here in this period of time. God wants us to be a separate people. We're a chosen people that He's called forth. And He doesn't want us to be like the world. He gives us the Holy Ghost so we can discern right from wrong, so we can know and fear the Lord and do the things that please Him. He doesn't want us to be joined with Belial or with infidel. He wants us to be a separate people, His own separate people that show forth His work, His mighty works, and have faith. Praise the Lord. Amen. But as we were reading there in Luke, not only was this time when Jesus Christ would return be like the days of Noah, but it was also going to be like the time of Lot. And of course, verse 28, and going back to Luke, the 17th chapter, explains, "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." You know, what I see in these verses here from Luke 17, God sent His judgment, but for those that who weren't aware of God's coming wrath, it was just a normal day to them. They were doing the things that just they always did, that seemed acceptable to them. They were, you know, just living their life. They, you know, like times of Noah, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Just normal things. And they didn't perceive at all what was going to happen. They didn't understand their wickedness. And in fact, you know, they had no desire to change from what the scriptures indicates to me. But it happened suddenly. God's judgment was sudden. It says, "But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." And it says in verse 30, "Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." You know, that time period of Lot is likened unto the end. And we all know that what's happening on this earth right now is more and more like Sodom and Gomorrah. So much more like it. Let's just look a minute back in Genesis, just to catch a few verses here. If you look at the 18th chapter for a moment. If you look at the 16th verse here in Genesis 18, it says, "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way." Of course, he had some visitors there. There were three men that came to him, and one was the Son of God. And it tells us in verse 17, "And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" Because God was fed up with Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." And verse 20 says, "And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous." He was grieved at the time of Noah. But here is another grievous moment, the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah. "And hear, God Almighty, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know." And of course, he made it known to Abraham what he was going to do. That man who was called the friend of God. Verse 22 explains that the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And here's Abraham making intercession here. Verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? And of course, we know how he pleaded with God and said, oh Lord, if there be 50, oh Lord, if there just be 50 righteous within the city, would you perhaps spare the city for 50? And, you know, God said he would. And then, you know, I think Abraham must have realized in his spirit, no, there's not 50. Oh, Lord, there's 45. Would you spare the city? Because he knew his nephew Lot was in that city. And then, of course, no, God would spare for 45, but there weren't 45 righteous people. Lord, for 40. And then, you know, Lord, for 30. Lord, for 20. Lord, for 10. Lord, would you spare the cities if there'd just be 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah? And God said he would. But, you know, the truth was, there were no 10 righteous people in those cities at all. They were, oh, so evil, so grievous to the Lord. And, of course, then we know that the angels came to Sodom because they had to get Lot out of that city. Of course, Lot is at the gate when the angels appear in chapter 19, and you know, he sees them. He's very willing to help them and ask them to come and stay all night, and offers to wash their feet and provide for whatever their needs might be, that hospitality that he showed toward them. And of course, they were going to just stay in the street, and that didn't sound good at all to Lot, and he urged them. It says he pressed upon them greatly, and they did turn in and come in and entered into his house, and he made a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they did eat. But the men in Sodom and Gomorrah were so wicked. Let's look at verse 4. It says, before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. They were all given over to that terrible spirit of sodomy, obviously. And they all came around and surrounded that house. It says, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And of course, it wasn't pretty at all. And eventually, what the Lord did is he had that door shut, so, and they were smote with blindness so that they couldn't find the door. And these were vicious people with so much evil in their hearts that they couldn't possibly even stop. And praise the Lord, God was going to take care of it. So those men that came in, and one was the angel of the Lord, said unto Lot in verse 12 of this 19th chapter, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place? For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. God had his fill. That cup of his wrath was full, and he was going to pour out his judgment. It tells us in verse 14, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They couldn't hear of it. They had no heart to hear at all. It was foolishness to them. Verse 15 tells us, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And it must have been hard for Lot even then. It says, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him up, set him without the city. They had to take him by the hand, his wife by the hand, and his two daughters by the hand to get him out of there. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And stopping there and going back to Luke now again. And we know the story. It tells us in verse 29 of this chapter, but the same day here in Luke, that Lot went out of Sodom. It rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. That terrible spirit of sodomy was upon them, and God would have no more of it. God would have no more of it. You know, here we are in this world today, and what do we see rising like never before? Things that were unheard of in earlier years. Things that we didn't hear of earlier in our lifetime, if we've lived any period of time at all. You know, good and well, there's gay parades these days in major cities. A lot of cities have gay parades. I believe that was San Francisco, where those ministers of the gospel stood there with signs warning people to repent. And these sodomites, these people came and beat those men up, that wicked spirit within them, that spirit that rose up within them, wouldn't have that. They wouldn't heed that sign. They didn't like that. They came up against it. You know, just recently there was that Supreme Court decision, and stating that in the states where marriages between man and man or woman and woman had been legalized, that would be acknowledged by the Supreme Court, by the law of the land. And also redefining marriage as not being limited only between a man and a woman, but to include these sodomites and their desires. And that's, you know, something that's happened right before us. And if God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, if he had had his full of that, if he could not bear that, if Lot had to be taken out of that city so God would destroy it, then is not it the same today? Is not the same spirit? Will God not judge it also? Of course, we know just recently, last month, I believe, the current Pope, Pope Francis, made a statement. He was on a trip to Brazil, I believe, and they were, I guess the reporters were going over things with him and interviewing him, and you know, that statement came out, who am I to judge? And pertaining to the sodomites, if they have the heart to search for the Lord and try to be towards goodwill, then, you know, who am I to judge? You know, he made a statement like that. And if this is a departure from even the Roman Catholic stand in this matter, and it's all leading to that. You see that coming up all over the place. And these people who once were in the closet are in your face instead. Brave and bold and not afraid anymore to make their stand known. And I think Brother Tim was telling me, was that San Antonio that you were saying that there they are considering some kind of legislation that would bar anybody who comes against homosexuality from being a part of, that working for the city there in San Antonio, just that they wouldn't be permitted if they had that kind of viewpoint. So I'll tell you what, these are just little signs of what's going on in this world today, in this country. These are signs that the Lord is coming soon. These are signs that he's getting ready to pour out his judgment. We are told that so clearly here in the 17th chapter of Luke. He gave those two examples. the time of Noah, that violence that was in the land, the corruption, their imaginations of their heart being evil continually. And you see that. There's things even in this city that are hard to bear. I know just recently I heard that there was a case in those apartments behind us, right here behind the church here, that was extremely hard to bear. And, you know, in a environment where they thought they were safe, and all at once they took advantage of a young girl. And so it is, I mean, right here in our own midst, just to show the evil that's in this place. In this place, the hearts of man evil, continually thinking of things that are so contrary, so rebellious to the mind of the Lord. And of course, then this other issue, not only as in the time of Noah, but in the time of Lot. And here we see it right in front of us. These things happening before our very eyes. You know, they tell us there needs to be something that rises in our heart to let us know that this is the end time. The Lord's going to come. He's going to come and judge these situations. It says in verse 30 here, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. When he comes again, that second day, when every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. All at once, when they see him, when he's revealed, it's going to be that kind of environment as it was in the time of Noah. It's going to be that kind of environment that was in the time of Lot. And here we see it. And as I said, to those that were not ready, those that were not watching, those whose hearts weren't dry, it was just a normal day to them. They had no idea, they had no notion that the Lord was going to come and judge them. They were just doing what seemed good to them, just normal activities. You know, we are so told that the Lord's going to come as a snare. It's going to be suddenly. There's not going to be, to those that aren't watching and waiting, there's not going to be any big indications at all. They're so used to their sin and their willful disobedience that they're not going to know. But we as a church, we are told to watch. We are told to wait. And there's some warnings that are given to us. Let's look at Luke, the 21st chapter. And here Jesus is warning. He was also talking about the end time in this very chapter too. But here in verse 34, Jesus said, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any times your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." We live in a land of plenty. There's just so much. I know times are getting a little harder for a lot of people, but in so many cases, people have had so much offered to them, so much abundance of things, more than needed, excess is so much. And surfeiting refers to excess, overindulgence, you know, food beyond normal, and on, lots of goods and time to waste. And here's a warning to the church. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and this one and cares of this life. And we know that we're often bothered with cares, the things that come upon us, things that seem normal. But no matter what, we have to have that spirit within us that's watching, that's waiting, that's aware of the times that we're in. We don't want that day to come upon us unaware. We don't want to be caught off guard when our Lord Jesus returns. It's not going to be, you know, something that people will be looking for. It's not going to be announced in the papers. It's not going to be proclaimed on the radios. You know, oh, the Lord Jesus is going to come tomorrow. In fact, if it were, you know, we'd have to wonder. But because, you know, we were told if somebody says, lo, he's in the desert, go forth not. You know, if he's in the chambers, don't go after him. But he's going to come suddenly. And it tells us in verse 35, for it's a snare. A snare is a trap. If you're going to set a snare for a creature, you're going to make it easy for them to go in. You're going to, you know, put some kind of alluring food or something in there so that they'll be tempted to go in there, not realizing that the door is going to shut and they're not going to be able to get out. We know we have an adversary, the devil. He's a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to trap whosoever he can. So here it tells us, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. He's going to come quickly. He's going to come suddenly. It's not going to be announced. He's going to come as a thief, meaning that most won't know unless the Lord has spoken to your heart. It's not going to be proclaimed. People aren't going to be watching and waiting unless the Lord has dealt in their heart. Unless they have that spirit within them, that regard for the Lord, and that awareness that the bride of Christ must have. In verse 36, watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. He's coming. He's coming as a thief in the night. But the bride of Christ is going to be watching, and they're going to be praying always. There's always going to be that awareness in the heart. The Lord's coming. I can't do this. I can't do that. I have to be careful. I can't let down my guard. The Lord's coming. I want to be like the good man of the house that's going to open unto his Lord immediately. The one that says, I know he's coming. And you know, it may be the second watch. It may be the third watch. Maybe down from time, years and years, from the first time that you heard that he was coming, but it's still in my heart. And I want to be like that servant that the 12th chapter of Luke talks about, that servant whom when the Lord cometh is found watching and waiting, and so that when the Lord comes, he opens up immediately. He's ready. He's prepared. That lamp is trimmed, it's burning, just as those wise virgins there in the 25th chapter of Matthew, they were waiting. They were aware. They had oil in their lamps. They were filled with that oil of the Holy Ghost. They had not let down their guard because they knew there was going to be a cry that would come forth, a cry, go ye out to meet him. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. They didn't know the moment, but they knew it would happen. And so it is with us. We don't know the day or the hour, but we see the signs. We see what's happening round and about us. We can tell it's very much like that time of Noah. God judged them. It was suddenly all at once, it was time for them to go into that ark, and only Noah and his family knew it was time. They were the only ones that were aware because God had prepared them. And they had prepared their hearts. They had prepared the ark. They had done what God had precisely told them to do. So they were ready. And they could go in. And when it was the moment, and they worked for years and years and years to repair that ark. But suddenly it was that moment when they needed to go in. But thank God they were ready. And they could go in. The others were outside. They had no thought as to what was going to happen. Yes, Noah had warned them. He had preached to them. He was a preacher of righteousness. He had warned them. And they could have repented. They could have got right. They could have been one that went in if they would have heeded. But they went on their own way. They just laughed him off. They scoffed at Noah. They didn't listen. And so when that moment arrived, they were not prepared. They were not ready. And suddenly it was. Suddenly it was that moment, that long-awaited moment. And they went into the ark, those that were ready, those that were with Noah, his family, those eight. And the scripture, of course, tells us that God shut the door. God shut the door. And when God shuts the door, it is shut. Right now, we live in a period of time when we yet have an open door. We can yet give our life to the Lord. We could yet come to Him. We still have an open door. But there's going to be a moment when God's going to shut that door. It's going to be too late then to do anything different. It's going to be too late to make amends in your life and get ready and to change. But right now we have opportunity. We still have opportunity. And of course, likewise with Sodom and Gomorrah, those people, they were just eating and drinking, going about their business like normal. They didn't know that God was going to rain down fire from heaven, that He was going to destroy them. But you know what? It happened. It happened. And these are warnings. These are things to give heed to. The Lord used these for examples that we might know that His second coming would be at a time such as those former times of Noah and of Lot. Let's now go to 1 Thessalonians here. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. It says, "But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." You see the same pattern here? Sudden destruction and a cry. It's all well. Peace and safety. It's going to seem okay to most people. It's going to be a normal time to most people. Peace and safety. But then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Just as when God began to rain down that fire from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah, there was no escape. God had taken Lot and his wife and his two daughters by the hand to take them out of there. He'd allow those angels to take them out. And of course, we know that Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. And his daughters got into trouble shortly thereafter. But it happened quickly, and there was no escape. And so it is going to be with the coming of the Lord, the second coming. It's the terrible day of the Lord to those that are not ready. But it says in verse 4, here in 1 Thessalonians 5, "But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." We don't have to be in darkness. We don't have to be in the dark concerning this. We don't have to be those that are caught in this snare. We don't have to be trapped. Because here we have warning. It says, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." The light of the Lord shines in our heart. When He gives us the Holy Ghost, He puts that light within us. He gives us His Word so that we can take heed and we can take warning so that we can be aware. We don't have to be like those that are in the dark and unaware. Verse 6, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." We can't let down our guard. We want to be doing the will of our Father when He comes. That's going to be so important. Like the good man of the house that could open up immediately. Like those servants that we're waiting for their master to return, for their Lord to return, that we're going about doing their will, doing the will of their father, of their master, of the one that they served. And likewise, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a precious promise that is. There's going to be a wrath that falls upon this world like no wrath ever before known. It's described in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, if you want to just turn the page. When our Lord comes, when he's revealed from heaven, this is what it's going to be like. Look at verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Oh, thank God there are people that will be watching, that will be waiting, that will be listening for the sound of that trump. Oh, that trump, that Lord that descends from heaven, as we know there. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh my, and praise the Lord. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It's going to catch those that are not watching and waiting off guard. It's going to come as a snare upon them. But praise the Lord. We've been given warning. The Lord's talked to us. We've got his word. We can take heed. We can get right. We can do the things that please the Lord right now. That snare doesn't have to overtake us. We don't have to be caught in it and trapped. We can escape if we're watching, if we're waiting, and our heart is right with the Lord. Such a precious thing. Praise the Lord. Our God is so good. You know, I'm so glad that the Lord talks to our heart. And I know none of us are perfect. We're all in need of the perfection of the Lord Jesus. And I think that's the thing that we need to strive for every day, to be like the Lord. That we need to give every day to the Lord and strive to be like him. Strive to seek him first and put him before all things. It's so easy to have idols in your life. So often things come into people's lives that put the Lord secondary, or thirdly, or fourthly, or, you know, maybe way, way, way down there. But he wants to be Lord of our lives. And he needs to be first. And there's always those moments when we need to examine ourselves. It's always the right thing to do, to examine ourselves, to see whether we be in the faith. And I was just thinking, you know, Pastor, before he left us, I know it was a lot of examining that was going on in his own life. And he was really quiet a lot of those days. Of course, he was in a lot of pain, and it had to be extremely hard. But it was a lot working inside because I believe he realized that he was very possibly getting ready to meet the Lord. I remember him just, you know, praying out loud one day and just saying, Lord, if you want me, then take me, Lord. But I don't know if I'm worthy to stand before you, Lord. I don't know if I've done enough. I don't know if I've reached that point, Lord. And I just remember hearing him pray that day. And then I just remember he told me, he said, you know, we used to just sometimes just maybe watch Andy Griffith or something before went to bed just to kind of relax and it just to wind down, I guess, a little bit from the day and all that sort of thing. And some of these things aren't so really terribly bad, so it seems when you compare them to other things. But Pastor was getting ready to meet the Lord. And he told me, he said, I want you to take all those DVDs and all those videos, and I want you to put them away. And those last several days, those last couple of months before he left us, he wasn't watching that stuff. He wanted to put it away because there was something else in his heart that was driving him. He knew he was going to meet the Lord. And he wanted to be right. He wanted to be ready. And likewise, here we are, we're left. And we're all going to meet the Lord too. We're all going to stand before him. But we want to be right. When we stand before him, we don't want anything to separate us from God. We don't want any sin. We don't want any idolatry. We don't want anything to hinder us on that day. We want to be able to stand before him with a perfect heart. One that's free from sin, one that's free from idolatry, one that's sought him and put him first. And truly, it's time to seek the Lord. We don't know the day of his coming. We don't know when he's going to come as a thief in the night. When suddenly this event is going to be before us, but it's going to be suddenly. It's going to cause most people to be lost, because they're not going to be ready. It's going to come. He's going to come as a snare. But praise the Lord, we are those that have God's word. We've heard his preaching. We have that ability to talk to the Lord. We have that ability to examine our hearts to see if we're right with the Lord. And you know what? We likewise, we're getting ready to meet him. He's going to come. We see these signs before us. We know it's getting more and more. Every day is more like the time of Sodom. It's right in front of us. It's right before our face. And we're getting ready to meet him. We need to get ready to meet him. It's just so important that we look at ourselves. Every single one of us. We all need the Lord like never before. There's always great room within us to be more like Jesus. And what a goal that is. What a goal it is. But we're getting ready to meet the King. We need to. We've got to. Otherwise, we're going to be caught off guard. We're going to be like those that were trapped, like that time of Noah, those that the door was closed to. But praise the Lord, we have opportunity. It's open door now. We can give heed. We can listen. We can get right. And praise the Lord, he's given us these moments. Praise the Lord, we can come to him. We can come up here. We can pray. We can seek the Lord. We can be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's still possible. We still have time. He's standing at the door and knocking. And if any man will let him come in, he'll come in and sup. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, we have opportunity. We have time, for he's coming. He's coming as a thief in the night. He will be revealed. Amen.
Thank you, Shirley. Praise God. I know, you know, regarding what you're talking about earlier, Shirley, truly, that is so true, and they've passed a law in New York now where any counselor is disallowed from talking to anyone who comes in looking for a help to understand if, for example, if homosexuality is right or wrong. It's against the law for any counselor to come against homosexuality. They have to affirm it now. So you see the precedence that has been set, and what's coming down the pike, what's coming next, is that pretty soon they're going to outlaw churches from speaking out against homosexuality. You see, our rights are being taken away, and people need to be aware of that. People need to be aware of the day and the hour that we live, truly. It is the last days, the end of the end times. People do need a sobering wake-up call. We all do. And usually the Lord really prepares people by giving them that conviction in their heart. He's going to prepare people for His coming by doing a work in their heart. If you're not prepared, if you don't feel that conviction in your heart, if you're not convinced of that, then I would be seeking hard after the Lord and asking Him, Lord, am I ready? Am I ready? It's not about fear. It's not about manipulating people into fear. But we better have a healthy fear for God, because He's coming back soon.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And, you know, it's not about fear-mongering either. It's not what this is about. But we are to warn each other. We are to help each other. We are to sound the alarm. And there might be just a few people here tonight, but praise God for those few people that are here.
Amen.
Praise God for the few people that are online, that are willing to hear, that are willing to give heed and to listen. There's very few people left. The Bible says, narrow is the way, very few will find it. Very few. I want to be ready. How about you?
Amen. Yeah.
Well, praise God. I don't know where to go to sing except why don't we just go here? Seek ye first. 159. We ought to seek the Lord first. You know, many people put family, friends before God. And we ought to put God first and then family and friends. Isn't that the way it works?
Amen.
Put God first in your life. He'll honor you if you honor Him. He'll honor your prayer if you honor Him. Okay.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah.